Hey, everybody, Matt, Jess and Dave here.
Sorry, Jess, just butting in quickly to let the listeners know that I'm going to be in Sydney this week, coming up the 8th to the 12th of May, and you can get tickets now via mattshieldcomedy.com, then going straight to Brisbane on the 16th to the 19th. So tickets for my show Dryer Dryer in Sydney and Melbourne.
Sorry, Matt, I'll just cut you off there. I just need to tell everyone that our quiz show, our web series, is out right now. Do go on the quiz show. You can see it on Stupid Old Channel for free on YouTube. Type in "Do Go On The Quiz Show" and you can see three episodes right now covering topics like Google, Queen Victoria, the Olympics, and we got five more episodes coming up. So like and subscribe, whatever that means.
They are big topics too. And I said Sydney and Melbourne. I meant Sydney and Brisbane. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
I'm still here too.
Oh, hey, Jess.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hello and welcome to Do Go On for another week. I was going to say week.
All right. We've lost it.
We were weak.
How many episodes have we started like this? Let's be honest.
A few. And you know what? They're my favourite ones.
Really? You enjoy listening back to both of us speaking all at the same time?
I think it's very funny because it clearly irritates you, and Matt and I enjoy that.
I was just beefing out some of the key words, you know, like a hype man. Okay. Sort of backup.
You were in the song 500 Miles. Just to be the man. No, I'm wrong there. Never mind. What song was
I singing more like Beastie Boys. Don't you tell me to
stop.
But I would have also said stop.
Right. All right. Let's try that. My name is Dave.
Warnicky, no, I don't know you.
And I'm here with Matt
Stewart.
Matt. And Jess Perkins.
That's why we'll never be the Beastie Boys.
We'll never be.
I was right with that song because one of them sings it a bit like, just to be the man who walked, and then the other one comes in and they sing together a little bit. That's what I meant.
La da da da.
La da da da.
La da ba da.
Hey, Macarena.
Pretty sure I just did the old El Paso Mexican food.
Okay.
Can't we have both?
Yeah, ¿por qué nos los dos?
Anyway, hello, boys.
Guys,
hello, boys.
Hello, boys. How we going?
The boys are good. Well, this boy's good, Matt. The boy.
This boy is in love. That's a song.
It is a song.
I can't. Not the Panics. The Presets. Not relevant and apologetic.
You're not in love.
Well, I'm always in love with TISM, the St Kilda Football Club, and the Meredith Music Festival, as you do well
know. The big three.
This is like already a musical themed episode. If you've looked at the title and you thought it couldn't be that musical, well, it is.
You're wrong.
Well, it could be musical. I don't know what we're going to talk about this week.
You don't know. You don't know shit, Warnicky.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I just got really aggressive. It's very hot still.
Oh, my God. It's been
It's just like
45 plus for weeks.
No, it hasn't. But it's dipped like a few times, like right in the gap between pods.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. There was a couple of weeks where Monday was super hot and then there'd be a cool change and the rest of the week would be like mid-20s. Did you notice that at all? It's like the Monday would be like high 30s and really humid and awful, and then there'd be a storm and there'd be a cool change overnight, and then the rest of the week would be okay. It happened for like 2 or 3 weeks in a row.
Well, I once got my hair cut by, talking about my haircuts again.
Sure.
By a lady, and she was trying to tell me how, you know how it's always hot on Mondays, and I was thinking, that's not how weather works.
Yeah, that's when I was cutting his hair.
And I thought that was one of the silliest conversations of my life.
Okay, well,
that is pretty nutty. you know how it's always hot on Mondays.
It's always
hot. But that's not what I said.
Always.
I just said in the last few weeks.
But it just reminded
Mondays
me of that
have
moment.
Been hot.
But you can't tell the person that's halfway through cutting your hair that what they're saying is quite silly.
No.
You just have
to. You can't be like, no, you moron.
It's like when the taxi driver starts being racist. You just have to try and, you know.
Smile and nod.
Try and give them so little that they pick up on the fact that you don't share these views. Yeah. But you can't be like, look, mate, shut up. You know,
and then as
especially
soon as,
when I'm on my own, I just get intimidated, so I just sort of go, mm-hmm.
But as soon as they drop you off and you've got, like, you're already half out the door, you're just like, your ideas are fucked and what you're saying is incorrect and you should have a good hard look at yourself. Thank you, bye.
Thank you. Oh, left my phone in the back seat. Come back.
He's gone.
They're gone.
Yeah. Look, what I try and do is have an open dialogue with the driver. And,
yeah, but you would because you're...
You would. You're old. You're,
yes.
You're of that age.
More self-confident.
Yeah. We're young and naive. That's
I mean, I'm about to die. I got nothing to lose.
Yeah, exactly. What's he going to do? Hit an old man?
Yeah, I don't think so. Come on, mate.
I can't go to jail, mate. I just can't.
I can't.
I can't go to jail.
I won't. Not again.
I won't.
You know what? You know something that racist... cab drivers are not into.
What's that?
Assaulting old white men. That's the last thing they
want
to do.
They're not into it.
They're all about the old white men and what they believe in.
Yeah, true.
So, but what about a young white man such as myself?
I don't know.
Not about them.
Is that a grey area?
You're a grey area, yeah.
Thank you.
Much like Matt's grey area. His pubes.
His entire body.
Oh, hang on.
His entire pubic region, which is as grey as...
Gandalf?
I'm a silver fox.
In the pubic region.
Just in the pubes, which is weird.
I call my dick the silver fox.
Also weird that we know that.
I know, it's crazy.
Well, we're very close on this
it's
podcast.
It's very hot. It's very hot, and we are very free and naked.
We're very naked.
Matt, do you dye your beard?
My dick beard, yeah.
You dye it grey.
You guys started it.
You dye your dick beard grey.
Yeah, haven't you seen that new product? It's like a silver, it's silver spray paint. Is that new? That's actually been out for a while.
Man, I think that's quite toxic.
It's relatively new to me.
You should not be spraying
my
that
dick
on
looks like the Tin Man. If I only had a hard, he often sings.
If I only had a hard.
Hard, yeah. If I only could get hard.
You know, a feel-good movie.
Oh, that was a weird way to start. I don't
totally
want to talk
you guys
that.
Took it there.
Yeah, I did. I did, and I regret it, and I'm sorry. Lesson
so you
learnt.
Should.
Lesson learned. Thank you for teaching me that important lesson.
I regret nothing, except not telling the taxi driver that he was wrong.
Yeah, sure. And for not telling that woman she was an idiot for thinking all Mondays are hot.
No, I just felt a bit sorry for her, to be honest, that she was thinking.
You know how Mondays are really hot? No, that's not a thing.
And Thursday's always cool. You know, like, no, what?
This is how the conversation would have gone if you said, that's not really how it works. It should have, no, but you know what I mean. That's what would have happened next.
Yeah, but you know, instead I said, and then I went home and I tweeted about it like she was an idiot and I got a couple, like two favourites and I felt great.
Two favourites, that's
like,
pretty
I was
good.
Really changing the world.
Cop that hairdress.
Cop it.
She probably doesn't have Twitter because she probably has a life outside of it. Right.
No, she doesn't have the weather app because she doesn't need it because it's always hot on Mondays and it's always cold on Thursdays.
And what about the days in between? How do you know? Do I need a jacket?
I'm not sure.
Do I wear something with sleeves?
Yes.
Do I need to shave my armpits?
What I like to do is wear clothes that are all zippable, so you can zip down as much as you want. So you've got zip every inch of your sleeve and pants.
You've got cargo clothes.
Yeah, yeah.
But for every inch.
But they're all button off, like basketballers wear.
You just rip them.
So I just rip off layers as I need to.
Mm-hmm. That's great. It's very efficient.
It is, in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But it takes me hours to get dressed in the morning.
You've got to pin them all back together.
And there was a malfunction one day at the podcast, and that's how we know about your... Great
Silver
dick
fox.
Beard.
Yeah. Tin man dick.
What a beautiful image. And on that note, Jess, shall we ask you what topic you will be reporting on today or what question you'll use to get us into it?
Well, I would like to mention firstly that this is a golden hat suggestion. I won't say who from.
Ooh, golden pube.
Golden pube suggestion.
Beautiful.
Okay, so for some of our Patreon listeners who donate over a certain amount, they get to put their suggestions get put into a special hat.
I like how it sort of seems like we're being vague about it, but Jess
probably
and I just
don't
know. Fully know. Dave is much more on top of
also,
those.
No, actually, I know it's over 25. But
this is the Scheinberg Club.
It's the Scheinberg Club, isn't
it? Yeah, there's only 10 people in the club,
but
and
I
they
don't...
can suggest topics that we have to do a report
but,
on.
But, Matthew... Because for a number of factors, I don't like to mention dollar amounts because it's putting them above everybody else, and that's not fair because we're all one big happy family.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, no, I agree. Everyone's equal in this.
But these guys are superior.
Yeah, superiorly equal.
So this is a suggestion for the golden hat.
The Seinberg group on that
Seinberg.
Oh boy, there's 10 max in there, right? Someone left it not too long ago and was replaced almost instantly.
I love that. Did someone have
an alert on it somehow?
Can you have an alert?
I don't know if you can. But I like that.
Bang in there. They took that 10th place.
Like they happened to look and was just like, oh, it's my time to shine.
So funny. And that's great.
It's my time to shine, Burke.
Oh, very good. Very good indeed. So my question to you is, who is the voodoo queen of New Orleans?
Oh, I saw this topic. This is by Max sent this in.
Yeah, very good.
I don't know what that means at all, but it was in his message, and I can't remember. It was a lady.
It's a lady. Well, it's a queen. Dave, have you ever heard of the voodoo queen?
The Elizabeth II?
Yes.
Is that right?
No.
No, I've actually never heard of the voodoo queen of New Orleans.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to say.
One of those things that is such a good name. We've talked about this a lot on the show, how a good name can go a long way.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I will tell you then, because this is suggested by Max, who is a long-time listener and friend of ours.
Hello, Max.
Hello, Max. And was a nice suggestion as a belated birthday gift to Max's boyfriend, Jake, who also tweets to us quite a bit. Jake Sullivan. Hello, Jake.
Hello, Jake.
This is so good.
This is so good. We're sorry that I think your birthday's sort of early January.
I love the idea of this as a birthday present.
Yeah, so good. Because didn't Jake get Max on to Do Go
yeah,
On?
That's what, yeah, that's what Max said. Nice.
I like that. I like when I hear or when people let us know that like they listen to it with friends or with their partners or something. I think that's really fun. Like we had an email of this couple who will like sit and have dinner together and listen to the podcast. And it's kind of like so we're having dinner with them. It's really nice.
God, they must have like an 8-course meal sometimes when the show goes for 2 hours.
Oh, sorry. Maybe it's like a week's worth of dinners.
Oh, wow.
Because we do talk for a long time and we're sorry about that, but also not sorry. We're sitting in a really hot studio to do it, so you're welcome. I really turned there.
You often do. But I don't know if I've said this before, but my personal favourite podcasts are longer ones anyway. So that's why I sort of get it. And we did put it out to the people once and they...
Yeah, what do you want?
And almost unanimously voted for longer.
Yeah.
Not 2 hours like bloody Ernie.
They did say an hour and a half plus. So okay, it counts 2 hours.
Yeah, 2 hours is an hour and a half plus.
There was no voting for 2+ hours. But anyway, shall I tell you a little bit about the Voodoo Queen of New Orleans?
Yes, please.
Do you say New Orleans or New Orleans?
I would say New Orleans in this because it rhymes with queen and
exactly.
sounds awesome.
Exactly. And also I think that's just our accent. So
I believe that over there they're more likely to say New Orleans.
Or NOLA. I heard NOLA a bit when I was there. I don't know if that was locals or... I can't
NOLA.
Remember if that was New Orleans, Louisiana.
Oh, cool. NOLA.
I like that.
I like that a lot.
Super cool. And I feel like I'm part of some sort of cool club now that I know that.
Well, that's it. We don't really have nicknames for any of our states. Tassie, maybe. Tasmania, yeah, we'd call Tassie. Apart from that, we don't really nickname anything.
Nah.
Vicky.
We've never said Vicky.
People have got names. Like, the people that come from states have nicknames. Like, Banana Benders, I think, is
Excuse
Queenslanders.
Me? Yeah, Banana Benders.
Banana Benders.
I've never heard that.
Sandgropers, Western Australians.
Sandgropers.
Crow Eaters are South Australians.
That makes sense, I guess. We get called Mexicans. Is that our thing?
Yeah,
that's
weird...
Queenslanders will often call us Mexicans.
Queenslanders call... Because
we're south.
Because
we're in the south,
south
yeah.
of the border.
Like, Mexico was south
But that
of...
makes them... I never got it. It's like, so you think of yourself as the United States? Why?
That would make Queensland Canada.
No, it's the... I reckon it's the dumbest... Oh. And it's meant to be like... It's also meant to be like a put-down.
Oh, Mexico. Yeah.
It's like, why?
Oh, you're Mexican.
Mexico
I live
great.
In Victoria.
It's the weirdest... I don't get it at all. Something about Queensland. We got some Queensland listeners. I wonder if this is true. But it seems like they're more influenced by America than other places. So I remember going, like, they got Hollywood on the Gold Coast.
Oh, yeah.
Which is an American thing.
Okay.
Oh.
And then they've got, I think they've got towns called stuff like Palm Springs and other sort of, like, Miami. There's Miami in. Whereas I think Victorian things seem to be more named out, like, Brighton. And Richmond, although everywhere's got a fucking Richmond.
Everywhere's
anyway,
got Melbourne.
This is such a tedious
Do you know what I learnt, though, about an Australian city, is that Perth is the most isolated capital city
in the world. Did you learn that from a tweet I sent out recently?
No, I learned that from my friend who's from Perth.
Oh, that's interesting. I tweeted that last week.
Oh. There you go.
I learned that from a Fear Factory video that was filmed in Perth. And
most isolated capital city.
How did Fear Factory reference that in a music video?
At the start, it says Perth, the most isolated capital city in the world, or something like that. Or it was I saw the making of because I bought that album. Anyway, that doesn't matter. Yeah, any right. Fear Factory fans out there? What? No. No one's answering back.
Well, no one in here.
No one in here, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Good band.
It's a cool name, I must admit.
So, yeah, well, I'll say New Orleans, and I want to apologize from the top that if I pronounce anything incorrectly, obviously there's a lot of French.
You'd have to call her the Queen of New Orleans to make it rhyme. I love the rhyme. Queen of New Orleans.
Okay. Yeah, that is good.
The New Orleans Queen.
Quinn.
Tasmania is also known as the Apple Isle, I just remembered.
Apple Isle, why? Because it looks like an apple?
It's a big apple place. They grow a lot of apples there.
Also, it looks a bit like an apple.
Yeah, I like that as a nickname, Apple Isle.
Apple Isle's cute.
For a while, Victoria was known as the Garden State, which is a rip-off of an American state, I'm pretty sure. And Western Australia has also been known as the Golden State, which is the same as California. Mm. So I think Australia does do that. I mean, America is the centre of the world, so it kind of makes sense that we're... steal references from them all the time.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Anyway, like my hero Homer Simpson always says, do go on.
So yeah, I may get some French wrong, and I'm sorry. And Max, I really hope I do this justice for you, because I'll be honest, I was researching this with a migraine. And
look, Jess, if you don't know how to say it, just say bobo.
Bobo. Exactly, perfect.
So you do it.
So, known as the Voodoo Queen of New Orleans. This was a title Marie Laveau,
so beautiful, good, beautiful name.
Not only earned, but to this day has not relinquished. She is still considered the Voodoo Queen of New Orleans. In fact, the crypt where she's buried, spoiler alert, she did. The crypt where she's buried in St. Louis Cemetery.
Oh, shit. I've visited her grave.
Have you?
Yeah.
Have you really? And you didn't remember?
Yeah, that's so bad.
What happened?
I'm the worst... traveler.
You're the worst traveler ever. You don't go to the Rock.
Hang on.
I did, but I went to this one. I just remembered.
Alcatraz. You didn't go to like the Van Gogh Museum, but you went to this lady's grave and didn't remember her name when we said it.
Or that she existed at all.
So tell me about the journey.
Sorry.
Yeah, tell me about your.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Tell us about your trip.
I was just. It's the kind
of thing. You just did the report.
A lot of my traveling, right, is it's day by day. I don't plan it out.
Is drinking related?
So it's, well, some yeah, often, but it,
what's her crypt?
And New Orleans is. Pretty good for that sort of stuff. But, it's where I'm staying, especially when I'm traveling. I was there with a friend, another Matt, and we, we'd get up and you'd meet people at the hostel and just go with the flow with what they were doing or whatever. So people were going there that day. I was like,
sheep.
Oh, that's interesting.
You're a sheep traveler.
Basically a sheep.
So basically you're that guy.
Go with the flow guy.
Sure.
As long as that flow is on tap.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. I can turn that
off. We're going to Alcatraz.
Is there a pub?
Is there a pub? I'm probably going to be at the pub. See you after.
See ya.
No, but anyway.
Honestly, if someone said that day, let's go to Alcatraz, that may be the reason why I'd go to place, which is not the best way to travel. You should probably some plan. I like the idea of going with the flow, but maybe I'm too committed to that, and it means I miss things that maybe I should see. But I still have no regrets. San Francisco was such a good time. And I didn't see anything.
Great.
Well,
but I saw some great pubs, had some great food, and saw some really good bars as well.
Well, did you know that you...
Saw the seals.
You inadvertently visited what is believed to be the most haunted cemetery in America?
Yeah, I think someone probably mentioned that that day.
So you went there, and
it was daytime.
Memorable, if you remember her.
Yeah, it was a cool grave. There was... I can't... Hers was either, like... Very small. No, it was either really big or really small.
It's pretty big. I will talk about it.
Was anyone else famous in there?
I don't know. Possibly. Probably. I didn't do a report on the cemetery. Oh, I did a report on Marie Laveau.
What's the point? I'm so sorry to Jake.
And Max. Say sorry to Max.
I mean, Max.
Say sorry to Max.
Max gave this to Jake. But sorry to you as well, Max.
You fucked his gift. You fucked it.
I did.
We're like... I'm two sentences in. You fucked it. Well, you're right, mate.
I'm pretty excited for this report.
It's pretty interesting. So visitors of the cemetery claim to have seen the ghost of the voodoo queen herself inside the cemetery, walking around tombs in her trademark turban while whispering a Santeria voodoo curse to disrespectful Gorkhas. If you visit her grave, you'll notice that people still leave offerings. There's candles, flowers, voodoo dolls, all in the hope that she will bestow her supernatural blessings. When people make a wish at her tomb, they return if their wish comes true and leave 3 X marks as a sign of their gratitude.
Where do they leave?
Do you remember that at all? Because it's like a big white, like plaster, tomb, and there'll just be like red X's over it. Threes.
What did you wish for?
I don't practice Santeria. I ain't got no crystal ball.
Right. Okay.
If I had $1 million, I'd spend them all, etc.
As the Great Sublime once said.
It's one of my favourite songs.
It's great.
Sorry, everybody.
So I lost you at Santeria, didn't I? Like, you just didn't hear the rest of it.
Yeah.
Cool.
And that song just started to kick around.
Do
my
you
head.
Remember there being any red cross marks on this grave that you? Oh, were
I,
you
I
drunk
remember
already?
Walking around.
Were you day drunk?
No, not necessarily.
But so, probably?
Probably not. I was probably more likely hungover. But
did someone leave her an offering of a bottle of vodka and you just thought you'd drink it?
Yeah. That's why you're cursed now.
I definitely went to a cemetery there and people were saying there's a famous person here and we should all look at it. It was a cemetery. I was semi creeped out.
It was the 70s.
I started to get it after that trip, but at that stage I was like, I don't really like walking around cemeteries, you know. I did it just to have done it, and then
I think it's something you start to do at your age. Like, my parents love it.
I have. When I went to Edinburgh, I went out to towns that my ancestors lived in, the Stuarts lived in, and went around this tiny village cemetery, and it was just packed out with Stuarts.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that
kind of stuff I find interesting, but
famous
now,
people are great.
No, yeah, but now I would probably. Maybe it is definitely an older person thing. Now that I'm a retiree.
When I was in Ireland.
Now that I'm on a grey nomad, I'm starting to get into that. Because I guess, I'm going
to
be there
soon. When you're surviving pension to pension, you need free activities.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it.
The grey, you know, cemeteries are free.
And plus, you might see some of your friends.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's good to visit.
On the way in or the way out.
Hey, okay. So, little is known with certainty about the life of Marie-Catherine Laveau. As for the date of her birth, popular sources often say 1794, but the records actually indicate 1801. So let's just say 1801, but possibly a little bit before that.
Okay.
She was a free woman of colour, and she was born in New Orleans on September 10, 1801, we're going to say. She was the illegitimate daughter of a free man of colour and a Creole mother, and historians believe that Marie's mother and grandmother were both voodoo practitioners. This is all kind of, like, it's all a little bit disputed. She seems to be this kind of, like, mythical, not mythical, but, you know, like, a bit of a legend. So.
Cool.
A total legend.
What a legend.
In 1819, at the ripe young age of 18, Laveau married Jacques Paris. Jack Paris.
What's your name?
Jack Paris.
I'm going to call you Jacques Paris.
I'm going to call him Jack Paris for the rest of this.
So she married. So she's only young.
She's 18. She's married to Jack Paris. She has 2 children, both of which are believed to have died young. Now, her husband also passed away under mysterious circumstances.
Suspicious? Is that what you're implying?
Mysterious is what I said. You can read into that whatever you would like.
I'm reading suspicious.
Mysterious. By the time she was in her 20s, she was known around town as the Widow Paris, and this name would also be etched onto her tomb, which, as we sort of mentioned before, is quite a popular tourist attraction. There's a little bit of speculation as to what her sort of jobs were. The only evidence that exists of any sort of occupation was that she was a liquor importer. But others, there's sort of a few different jobs. Like at some stage, people said she ran a brothel, but then others say that brothel wasn't a brothel. It was actually a house where unmarried pregnant women could come and, like,
have
their kids. They're very different. And have their kids in, like, a safe place, and then Marie would help them, like, put their kids up for adoption and stuff. So it was a bit strange.
Did you pay your respects, Matt, because she was a famous liquor importer?
Yeah, that'd be
you thought, oh, cheers to you.
This is my kind of lady. after the deck of Jack, folklore says Marie... Sorry,
pardon?
You said deck.
Did I?
After the deck of Jack.
Sorry.
That's a whole deck of cards.
Remember the time I said I cried at my brother's funeral? And you're both like, what? And I meant wedding. But in a way, same thing. No. I'm all right.
Yeah. His life's bloody
death
over.
Death of the ladies, man. Anyway.
After the death of Jack, folklore says Marie became a hairdresser and most of her clients were wealthy white socialites, which allowed her to be privy to the myriad of rumours and gossip that floated around the French Quarter.
She could also suddenly predict the weather with great accuracy. It's amazing.
She was like, how weird a hot Monday.
Monday. Thursday's always cool.
Always chilly. Always. Always, without a doubt.
So she got the hot goss, though.
She's got literally... get it? Like the hot weather. Anyway.
Yeah. Let me just tell you my hot takes on hot Mondays.
So this means that because she's like a hairdresser, and everybody chats to the hairdresser, women in particular, you'll chat for hours.
Sexist.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, yes. My sister-in-law is like one of the chattiest people I've ever met in my life.
Okay, so that's sister-in-law, but like, do people open up to strangers that much?
All women.
Oh, no, but I mean like...
But is it just
women especially.
Is it just small talk that's just stretched over 2, possibly 3 hours?
Yeah, but it's quite... Oh, I'm not saying like, okay, and tell me about your first marriage. Like, it's not quite deep and meaningful, but it's like you talk a lot.
I quite like... I find them relaxing when I get them done. I kind of like the no-chat hairdresser.
Well, would you go to, like, a barber?
But I do go to my friend the barber, and we definitely do chat.
So there you go.
I'm a bit annoyed that since I
got... Do you still get kids' rates?
I fucking wish. You're looking at a $50 haircut, and it wasn't even that good.
Mate, don't talk to us.
That haircut?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's at least a $50 haircut.
Well, thanks, mate.
Oh, okay, that turned.
You know how they're always so talking, they want to talk about something? Since I actually got my first ever, like, proper job... I can actually, I used to be like, yeah, you'd have to explain that I did trivia nights or that I wrote trivia questions. And now I could be like, yeah, I work at a TV show, like something cool to say. Mm. No one's asked me. No one's asked me.
I find that, I reckon I prefer to give the tedious jobs.
The tedious one.
I never do comedy.
That's what I mean. I would never say comedy.
No, I never say comedy.
But if you say, oh, I work in, TV production.
That's only
going
to lead to so many more questions. I miss
being
able to say.
But the question, it goes somewhere. That's what I mean. You can kill the... My haircut's quite quick, but still, I got something to kill for 20 minutes.
Yeah, right.
But I used to be like, yeah, write trivia questions. I'd be like, oh, cool.
I like to flip it. Go, well, what do you do?
Oh, very good.
What's your
depending on what it is, then we just chat about them for a bit.
That's great.
You talk about them. So this is obviously just your hobby. What do you really do?
Yeah, what's your passion?
What do you really want to do? This is obviously just for now. And they're like, oh, I've been a hairdresser for 15 years.
This is obviously this isn't a career.
Yeah.
What I mean, nobody would do this.
No, hair's really I reckon haircutting's a great passion. If that's what you want to do, that's a sick idea.
That's a great skill.
There's creativity and using scissors.
Practical
and
skills.
It's basically...
Yeah. It's a trade.
There's hair on your head, hair on your face.
Are we just justifying the existence of hairdressers? Because I don't think anybody had a problem with them.
No, I reckon I'm going to let them live.
Good for you.
Live and let live.
Good for me or good for hairdressers?
Hey, a bit of column A,
good,
bit of column B.
Good for hairdressers everywhere. But I will say that they all seem to win awards. You drive past every hairdresser, it's like, Hairdresser of the Year 2016.
Similar to bakeries.
Yeah, bakeries
country
have always
got... Best pie or best vanilla slice.
They're always the best vanilla slice.
Gold medalist, silver medalist.
Oh, man.
Who's getting the fucking bronze medal? No one.
Yeah, well, they're not advertising, that's for sure. Anyway, can I go on?
Sorry, we just had to take down
Please
hairdressers
do.
And then bakers.
Oh, nobody cares.
I thought we were building them up.
Thing. Anyway, because
so
she's,
many good bakeries out there.
Because she's a hairdresser to all the wealthy socialites, she gets access to a wealth of information from both the elite women she serviced, service is a weird word, to their servants and slaves. She was able then to convince people that she was a voodoo priestess with mystical powers. Ooh.
Right, so she'd be like, yeah, so how are things going in your love life? Also, I've got magical powers.
Yeah, she just drop it into conversation.
Hey, around this time... John Wilkes Booth dad came over from England and became the biggest actor in America. I wonder if they saw each other.
Definitely.
These two things are from the same universe.
There's no information to prove otherwise, so we can assume yes.
I reckon she cut his hair.
Oh my God.
Big time. And then she made him a big actor. So there was
good.
Something in it for her.
With her powers.
There always is. She then entered, she got into a relationship. They call it a common law marriage, which is very cute. This guy's name was, oh man, it's long. Louis Christophe Dominique Dumini de Glapion.
Bet she did not take that name.
When you said long, you kind of made it sound like it was going to be long. That's a bit disappointing, Jess.
I'm so sorry that 1, 2, 3, 4,
yeah, seven names.
Four names wasn't enough. They apparently had 7 children together. Unfortunately, only 2 of her children survived past childhood. In all, it's believed that Marie actually gave birth to about 15 children, which is a bit strange. And only one, like, survived to adulthood. I don't know. I don't have any information on...
The odds aren't very good there.
...what happened with the kids, but, yeah. Her daughter plays a pretty big role later in the story. Bit of fun for you. Now, of Laveau's magical career, there's a little bit that can be sustained. Sort of like what I said at the start, like, there's kind of speculation or there's different accounts of the story.
So we're still talking about her hairdresser as a magical career or her career of magic?
Her career of magic.
Right. Her magical haircutting career.
Hey, what are you saying? That hairdressers can't have magical careers?
No, this wasn't sure what we were talking about.
You have got some weird issues with
hairdressers.
Hairdressers.
I'm happy.
Just because she said Mondays were hot. Just once.
When you say magical career, she started doing it as a job. Like as entertainment or as to help people?
Not magic, like... pulling a rabbit out of a hat.
No, I know, but yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Well, as a career, so she's people come to her and she helps them with her magic.
Yes, correct.
And she calls it magic? Or is voodoo and magic similar?
Well, no, voodoo is actually...
it's like, sort of religion, isn't it?
But it's a combination of like African rituals and like Catholicism.
Right.
It's actually not like, you know, witchcraft and witch doctors and stuff like that. Like it's kind of perceived, I think, in film and stuff. It's just... Yeah, kind of ritualistic and spiritual.
Right.
And generally, like, quite well... It's well-meaning. It's not nasty. It's not like voodoo dolls sticking pins in voodoo dolls. It's positive.
Yeah.
So, you know, healing illness and stuff like that, for example.
Like witch doctors.
Witch doctors.
No, but that's not. Yeah.
No, but it is. I guess it is. It's sort of that kind of
but
thing.
But, yeah, I didn't realize witch doctors, I didn't think they would... That was negative. I shouldn't talk about things I don't understand, but...
Witch hairdressers?
Yeah, it's a witch hairdresser.
Yep.
So there's a bit of speculation, things that... there's these common themes or common stories about her that they can't necessarily say for sure, but, like, one of them is that she had a snake that she named Zombie after an African god, and she's had the snake with her all the time. Just a snake around her neck.
God, that'd make it really hard to cut hair.
It would make it hard.
Zombie is a sweet name for a snake.
Zombie's a great name for a snake. One of the other things is like whether her sort of powers, for want of a better word, were supported by a network of informants she developed while working as a hairdresser. So rather than her actually, you know, being intuitive, maybe it's that she had informants telling her things.
And oh, so she was sort of a fortune teller.
I wouldn't put it like that, but they just, maybe, I guess, or just all knowing, you know... Voodoo priestess. You know what they're like.
I know what they're like.
You know what they're like.
To be honest, I don't, but I'm starting to get some idea because you're telling me what they're like. Are you?
I'm in the same camp.
Yes.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's hard to find solid evidence because there's so much that's unknown about her, partly, of course, because it was a long time ago, but also partly because there was mystery and intrigue around her life at the time anyway. I found a couple of stories that a guy called James Duvalier has written up. Now, he's an author, spiritual counsellor, and paranormal researcher. So he feels like a person much more qualified to tell these stories than me.
Oh, we should get him in.
We should get him in.
Is he still alive?
I've got him on the phone. Yeah, I think so, yeah. This is only written kind of recently.
Actually, even if he is dead, we could talk to him from beyond the grave, because I'm sure he's worked out how.
He'd know how. Really? But I've got a couple of stories here that he's kind of written down that are kind of well-known ones about her. Would you like to hear those stories?
Sorry, Jess.
I would. That's two. You and me.
Okay, yeah, I want to hear.
Turn Matt's headphones off.
Well, I mean, we didn't get Jess's answer.
I say yes.
Okay.
Thank goodness.
Look, I'm willing to be outvoted on
this. I mean,
you
generally zone out anyway.
I'm going to go with the popular vote.
Just have a little...
Unlike the election in America.
Am I right? Whoa, what a topical reference.
What is this, Brexit all over again? Am I right? The people don't know what they want.
I don't know. Okay, so sometime in the late 1830s, the son of a respected New York businessman committed the brutal crime of raping and murdering a local Creole girl who he'd met at a ball. It was like a big gala affair where upper-class gentlemen would go to meet young women and take them as a mistress, you know, one of these classy events. And he took her up to his hotel suite and did some terrible things, and she died quite nastily. And this caused a massive scandal and sent waves of rage throughout the entire city, and people all through New Orleans just wanted to see this guy hanged. Like, they were furious. Fair enough. The father of the accused man had heard of Marie's reputation as the feared and respected voodoo queen, and more importantly, as a manipulator of men, and he knew that if anybody in the city could save his son, it was Marie Laveau. So Marie met with the worried businessman in her elegant apartment, and over tea she listened to his pleas and agreed to help win his son's case and assured that he would go free, but on the condition that once his son was declared innocent, he would sign over to her the deed to a Creole cottage that he owned on the Rue Saint-Anne, one of his many properties throughout the city. So,
hang on, sorry, we're just going to stop you right there. So she's agreed to get a definite murderer off in exchange for a house.
Correct.
What a piece of work!
Yeah, that doesn't sound good.
No, but it's like... benefits her. Okay. She'll get a house.
Yeah, yeah. But hang on. But
okay.
Some reason I was thinking that she was going to be a good person.
Me too. I thought she was going to somehow track this guy down using her powers and then lock him up.
Well, the story's not over, boys.
Ooh.
Why are we jumping to some conclusions?
Because we love to do that on the show.
Yeah. So shut up.
Okay. We'll try that. Yeah, interesting take.
Not really understanding what you're saying.
Just settle down. Okay. Just settle down.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, Matt and I were ready to turn on her when I was.
Oh, I already have.
Great.
Just settle.
Turn back time.
The businessman agreed, and the deal was struck. In the meantime, several onlookers had gathered below the balcony of Laveau's townhouse and observed firsthand this historic meeting, and within minutes the city was abuzz with gossip about Marie's involvement with the already sensationalized case. Later that same day, Marie left her home and walked with her pet snake Zombie resting on her shoulders. She's walking through the town. Zombie, everyone knew, was her animal familiar. Do you know how, like, witches have familiars? Like an animal companion?
Yeah.
That helps them with their magic?
Ah, I didn't realise.
You know, on the, for example, on the Mighty Boosh. Have you seen the Mighty Boosh?
Yeah.
There's, I can't remember any of their names anymore. Bolo is,
the gorilla.
He's the familiar of Naboo,
who
is a shaman.
Yes, and in...
I never realised he was his familiar.
I guess the monkeys...
Yeah, but he's a terrible familiar. That's the joke. Yeah, he can never do anything.
The witch of the... In Wizard of Oz...
Yeah, she had those monkeys.
Flying monkeys. Is that what that is?
I guess, maybe.
Pirates have parrots. Are we...
That's not familiar. No. You're just talking about...
Like the guy at the circus has the lion tamer?
No, that's not a familiar.
My mum has a dog.
Yeah. This is
familiar?
You've got a cat.
Yeah.
That's your familiar.
Well, there's a cat in my house. I wouldn't say I got no cat. Nah, good on the cat.
Poor cat.
Good on him.
Good on her. Thank you, Dave.
Come on, mate. Cats. It's 2017. Cats can be women.
Mrs. Chippy.
No.
Mrs. Chippy all over again.
That's a callback to Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Have you seen that at all?
No.
Yeah. Monkey was a woman. Women can be anything. It's great. So Marie's walking along with her snake around her shoulders because she's just a cool dude. So everybody's seen that and they know that the snake is her familiar, so they assume that she's about to go undertake a spiritual working.
Ooh, but doesn't the snake go everywhere?
Well, probably
not. They constantly think she's about to do something, but really she's just going for a walk.
Obviously not. Maybe she leaves the house without Zombie sometimes.
But when she's cutting hair...
Zombie's there.
they're all spiritual.
Yeah, it's a spiritual thing. Cuttings. Spiritual working. So she makes her way through the city and she enters the St. Louis Cathedral. She knelt at the front altar and began to pray, all the while with Zombie curled tightly around her neck and shoulders. She pleaded to her saints, spirits and almighty God to help sway the trial of the young man to the young man's favour and forgive him the ghastly crime he had committed. Then she placed 3 guinea peppers under her tongue and asked God to let the searing pain that she endured serve as penance for his crimes, to let her bear the punishment.
That'd have to be some pretty hot peppers, I reckon.
Pretty hot. And she got 3 of them.
And then she went and told someone about this? How do we know that?
Matt.
I'm just curious. It's just an interesting thing. It's just like, and then she's at the hairdresser again. She's cutting her again. Anyway, yeah, so I put a few burning peppers on her. That's the only way God works.
That's the only way he listens.
An eye for an eye, a pepper for a pepper.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets it.
Very similar to the brutal rape and murder of an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
You either hang him or put 3 peppers in his mouth. Make him close his mouth for at least 3 minutes.
Same.
Give him some milk. We're all done.
Lesson learned. Penance. He's a good boy.
He's a good boy now. He's fixed.
So she stays on in the church for hours and she's praying and her mouth is on fire and her tears are rolling down her face. Like, they're hot.
How hot?
Hot.
Like a habanero?
Yes.
Jesus.
Habanero.
Habanero. Thank God have mercy on her soul.
At the end of the day, she returned home, but not before making a surprise visit to the courthouse.
To the milk bar.
She did a drop-in.
Unbeknownst to anyone, she entered the courtroom, removed the guinea peppers from her mouth, and placed 1 under the judge's bench, 1 in the jury box, and the 3rd under the seat of the accused, where the businessman's son was to sit.
So there's no security, I imagine.
No security. It's the 1830s,
like last
mate.
Last week we were talking about the White House. People just walk in and
wandering
out. Walk in.
It's the 1830s.
What are you doing? I'm just putting a pepper under the president's pillow.
Carry on.
Checks out.
The next day, while court was in session, the doors swung open and Marie entered the courtroom with Zombie in tow, resting happily around her neck. The crowd mumbled and whispered as she made her way to the front row and took a seat. From the court, was that you being
there? Yeah. Or something about peppers.
Oh, that snake is weird.
Oh, God, get it out. I'm scared of snakes. What the fuck?
It's looking at me.
That's my hairdresser. Why is she here?
So basically, from the comments of the judge and the half-hearted fight put up by the prosecution, it was evident that the trial had swung in favour of the accused.
What? The half-heart?
By the end of the day, both the defence and the state of Louisiana had rested their cases and the jury returned with the verdict of not guilty.
What the fuck?
True to his word, the Yankee businessman right there in the courtroom signed over his property on Rue St. Anne and it became Marie's home until her death in 1881. The house was demolished in 1913, but native New Orleanians know the story of the ivy-covered mansion that once stood on the vacant lot and how its infamous resident came to be the proprietress. So people know that story, that she, like, helped...
So when you said the story wasn't over, it was over.
It was over. I just didn't want you to jump to it.
I was thinking, also fine, because she's going to shove a pepper down his throat or something.
No, because when I was reading it and she goes to the courthouse and, like, puts him there, I was like, it's going to, like, they're going to sit on the peppers, it's going to burn their assholes. I was like, yeah, that'll
my
get him.
Including the judge.
That'll get him. Yeah, it was weird.
The judge's arsehole was on fire, so he was like, get
we got to get out of here.
Guilty!
I'm
going to
put some yogurt on my ass.
Got to go wipe my ass with yogurt.
No, I just wanted you to feel the way I felt when I was reading it. And I was like, oh my God, she's doing something. Oh, no, she's just getting a free house.
So she's really a bad person.
No, she's not a bad person. We're all complex characters, Dave.
If you believe that she had any effect, which I personally do not.
But she got a free house
out of it. She got a free house.
Yeah, no, that's a... for some reason, I was thinking that she was going to be the hero of this story, so I was kind of a bit disappointed that she's sort of profiting from crime, almost.
Yeah, no, but that was just one story, you know, story in a life. What, you've never done anything bad?
I've never got a rapist person? And a murderer off, and if I did, I probably should be punished forever.
But she didn't necessarily, as you said before, maybe she had nothing to do with it, and maybe all she did was got out of it.
But I agree with Matt, she did profit from it, though.
Yeah.
She got the house.
But, and she, you know, maybe back then people believed in more superstitious stuff, so maybe just the confidence, the placebo effect.
Maybe.
I don't know if that's anything. I mean, the jury didn't know.
It's a lot of hypothesizing, isn't it?
The lawyer's like going, we got this. So he lawyered way better. It's so similar to Looney Tunes where Michael Jordan gave the Toon team Michael's juice, or what was it called? Michael's special stuff.
Oh, yeah, and it was just
But it was
water.
Just water. But they played and they
real
beat the aliens.
Special stuff was in here.
Yeah, all along.
That's beautiful. God, Michael Jordan's great.
What a guy.
What a guy. Mm. There's another story that you might like better.
Yeah, best basketball of all time, I think. Yeah. One of them.
I just meant as a person, really, right?
No, as a person and a basketballer, he's
and
my
quite
hero.
A good golfer and not a bad baseballer. So.
Hey, what do you got, Dave?
Read and wait.
At least he can hold a club.
Pardon?
At least he can hold a club. Your little hands.
I can hold a club sandwich.
No, you can't. You get the toothpick in your eye every time.
What the fuck is the toothpick in there?
It's holding it all together.
Makes sense. Mine always falls apart. I take it out.
You take it out, but then you've got to hold on. Like, you've got to hold on around the toothpick. Take the toothpick out. So
that hold
you
on
are
somewhere you're thinking. It made me think Tom Waits. Oh, no,
hold on for one more day.
There's
that's
a lot
joke.
Of hold on songs. Isn't that Flume song called Hold On? But your one was the best. What was that one you said?
That's Wilson Phillips.
Wilson Phillips.
Hold on for one
who
more
are daughters
day.
Of famous musicians or something?
I
or...
know it's strange. Why do you lock yourself up in these chains? These chains.
I can't think of my hold on song.
Break me from the chains.
Anyway. I do go on.
So, another legend told in the voodoo community occurred about 20 years after the court case incident and beautifully shows the compassionate nature of Marie Laveau.
All right, here comes. Laveau. She's going to get the murderer back. I can feel it. She's going to win us back.
Especially towards individuals who were reviled and spat upon by society. So Laveau was a staunch opponent of the death penalty, public execution in particular, and she often used her influence to spare convicted criminals from going to the gallows.
In exchange for a free house.
No free houses.
Oh, okay, sorry.
This time. One notable case occurred in the summer of 1854, when a convicted thief and murderer was scheduled to be hanged in Congo Square, the city's central square. It was common knowledge... And Marie had spoken out against this particular execution and that she'd tried to exercise her influence with the court magistrate to get the accused sentence commuted.
In exchange for one free house, I will commute the sentence.
There was no houses.
Well, that's why he's going
to
die.
But to no avail. So she failed in that. And her failure to win over the judges caused rumours to circulate about her waning influence. And this angered her as almost as much as the practice of public execution itself. She's like, no. My reputation is very important.
Okay.
She got so mad she publicly murdered some people.
No. The day of the execution was warm and bright, and hundreds gathered under the cloudless skies to witness the event at Congo Square. The black-hooded executioner read the death sentence and securely tightened the noose around the condemned man's neck. As he was getting ready to pull the lever and send the man to his death, Marie arrived at Congo Square with her ever-present snake zombie. The crowd parted to make way for her and as she sort of approached, and she looked up at the executioner and the condemned, and her face was stern with anger. And the crowd was completely silent. As she stood there, the once clear sky filled with clouds and a violent wind beat down on all of those present. So it got like dark and stormy.
Okay.
A dark and stormy. She ordered drinks for everybody.
What was the weather like before we started this episode?
Oh my god, we just had to have a little break because we wondered what the noise was.
We came into the studio, it was hot and clear skies. We just had a quick break because there was a noise happening. We went out and it is storming outside.
Like crazy. There's a bit of a flood in the driveway.
Yeah, I'm not sure we can get our cars out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Because we were just talking about how she was a bit of a bad person for getting that murder off.
Yeah, that's exactly when we had to stop.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit, it was too.
The Pharaoh's curse.
Now we've got the voodoo curse too.
Oh, no, two curses are not better than one.
Wow.
One of my favourite beers is the Voodoo Porter made by two brothers in Moorabbin.
That's not...
Is that enough?
No, I don't think it is.
The Voodoo People, a great song by The Prodigy.
I will start practising Santeria. I will get a crystal ball.
You will get $1 million.
And I won't spend it all. I'll buy an old house or whatever.
Yeah.
No, to get a house, you just have to get a murderer and rapist off.
Oh, I know. Can I not do it that way?
Also, the snake.
Stop
is...
saying get him off too. It's weird.
The snake is still. That's weird. The snake is still alive. How long do snakes live? 20 years later. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a voodoo snake.
Oh, actually, pardon me. She's probably still.
And
alive.
And also, like, there's comments as well, and I think I might mention them later as well. But like, she. Like doesn't age. People actually, even into her old age, she is like she looks great and very young and doesn't age.
Oh my god!
Which is probably just genetics.
A little bit freaked out. No,
could be, but also
she is.
They
good
all
skincare.
Like the
snake venom.
The story is that she was born in the late 1700s, but the reality is, so they're sort of, yeah. Everyone thinks she's 10 years older than she is as well.
That's true.
Yeah.
You never know.
7 years or whatever.
There's actually another thing that may explain it as well,
ooh.
Which I'll talk about later. But for now...
So it's storming up around the gallows.
Yes. Storming up a storm.
Okay.
Okay. So the executioner, who is just doing his job, he pulls a lever to send...
Yeah, that's what all murderers fucking say.
Send the condemned man hurtling towards the ground. Very dramatic telling this story. Just then, the noose came undone and the rope slipped over his head and he landed on the ground unharmed.
Oh, I thought he was going to land on a horse like that Muse film clip.
Now, according to tradition and law, this miraculous occurrence was considered an act of God, and the criminal sentence is then converted to imprisonment, and he was thus saved from death by hanging.
What?
So if it doesn't work by noose, that's an act of God.
If they don't die.
That's they don't die. So
fascinating. So if your mate is the executioner, he can...
Act of God.
That's great.
Isn't that cool? So after that day, the people of New Orleans...
So she only had to really convince the executioner to...
Oh, Matt.
No, but it would be pretty hard because if you make it too loose but not loose enough, then you will just strangle and have a horrible, horrible death.
Right,
It's an act of God, not an act of bribery.
I didn't say bribery. I thought maybe she put a chili under his arm.
Did she bribe the weatherman? You know what she did? She did the execution on a Thursday when it always gets cool.
Yeah, always a cool change on Thursday.
She knows. She's a hairdresser. She knows how the weather works. She's a meteorologist / hairdresser / food priestess.
After that day, the people of New Orleans never again doubted the power and influence of Marie Laveau. And they took the miraculous escape as a sign of Marie's unparalleled favor in the spirit world. Ooh. It's pretty cool.
I would have been 100% convinced in 18 whatever.
Yeah. Well, that would have been the 1850s.
Yes.
Because it was 20 years after 1830s. That's my math.
Man, this is such a similar timeline to last week.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about that. A couple of things. So, according to official New Orleans records, Marie Catherine Laveau Paris Glapion, because she took everybody's name, died on June 15th, 1881 at the age of 79. On June 17th, so a couple of days later, the New Orleans newspaper posted her obituary, which, according to Voodoo in New Orleans by a guy called Robert Talent, announced that Marie Laveau had died peacefully in her home. However, oral tradition states that she was seen by some people in town after her supposed demise.
Hang on.
So she died, but then was still seen around town. What? But then, one of her daughters, also named Marie... Many of her daughters had the name Marie within their names because Catholic naming practices is what it says. But
wait, I thought only one of her kids survived. No, there was something
else. She had two daughters that survived beyond early childhood.
At
only
15.
One that survived to adulthood, which is this one, Marie, possibly assumed her position with her name and carried on her magical practice, taking over as the queen soon before or after the first Marie's death. So
she's like the phantom.
Yeah, the legend of Marie Laveau is actually two women. It's like her and her daughter.
It is like the Phantom.
I love it.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And they sort of think that like her daughter was a bit more showy.
Right.
Apparently.
Give the people a real show.
Storms ain't enough. She's got the hat. She's getting the rabbit out.
She's like, is this your card? And everyone's like, what?
Let him go. Let him go. All right, if I can get if I can make the Ace of Clubs disappear, this murderer and rapist shall be left off and I shall own all of your houses. Woo!
It's kind of interesting. Like, again, there isn't a whole heap of information. I know there's, like, books and documentaries and stuff made about it, but...
Most of which you've read.
All of them, obviously. I mean, I research these very thoroughly and never when I'm very unwell, but...
We've totally quit our jobs, guys. This is full time.
This is what we do now.
That's why next time the hairdresser asks what I do for a job.
I'm a podcaster.
Wow. Yeah, full time.
I'm a full time
podcaster.
And very
hungry.
Very hungry podcaster.
I cannot afford to live.
Can I have this haircut for free?
Please.
Now and do you have a spare couch?
Please.
My house is couchless.
You gotta say please.
I refuse.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Sign of weakness.
Difference between you and I, mate. So,
manners are a sign of weakness.
Laveau's name and her history have been surrounded by legend and lore throughout history. In 1982, not 1882, Matt, I can read properly. In 1982, the New Jersey-based punk rock group The Misfits were arrested and accused of attempting to exhume Laveau from her grave after a local concert.
Oh my goodness.
That's pretty cool. That was like a fun fact that I just threw in there.
Is that cool. So that there's a law against that specifically?
What, exhuming the dead?
Yeah.
I don't think that's an okay thing to do.
That's definitely a law.
Wait, exhuming as in they try to dig her up?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they were standing there saying like a...
It wasn't like a seance.
No, they probably like tried to...
Oh, they were trying to dig her up. That feels like that should be illegal.
Yeah, that, and it is.
But if they were there going...
If they were there doing what, Matt?
Just like saying...
like a chant.
With something that they'd read that was not culturally insensitive, probably.
Yeah, well, they tried to exhume her. From her grave.
I obviously didn't know what exhume meant.
Obviously.
Oh, right.
Exhume just means dig up, does it?
Because they've got,
Misfits are the ones with the, they got the, what do they call that hairstyle? They curl it at the front.
Oh, yeah.
And it's called a dreadnought or something like that?
That's a faux, is it not a faux hawk? It's a, death hawk.
Death hawk.
Death
that's
hawk.
It, so.
That's
dreadnought
pretty.
Is a, what is that? It's like an army ship or something.
Oh, yeah, boy. It's like, what, Glenn Danzig's band or whatever. But do they have a...
Glenn Danzig, so good. What a name.
Name.
I'm a rock star from the band The Misfits. My name's Glenn. Nice to meet you.
Glenn.
Glenn.
Like we kind of mentioned before, like tourists continue to visit her grave, her tomb, and some draw an X mark in accordance with a decades-old rumour that if people wanted Laveau to grant them a wish, they had to draw an X on the tomb, turn around 3 times, knock on the tomb, yell out their wish, and if it was granted, come back, circle their X, and leave Laveau an offering. So it's almost like 2 different ones. Sometimes I'll do 3 X's, sometimes you've got to yell it out and knock... Look.
Sounds like a lot
around.
Of admin.
Can you buy a woman that has everything, that slash has been dead for 150 years?
An X with a circle around it.
Yeah, she loves it. I don't know, flowers, a
like
candle.
An offering.
An offering.
Maybe some
I do that,
sort of a...
I do that for most graves anyway.
Just, you know, keep some of your hair from that haircut.
Give her a death hawk.
Give her a death hawk.
Death hawk. Tic-tac-toe, she might enjoy
she
that.
She loves that.
Like a game or...
A game of tic-tac-toe,
do
yeah.
Do you play... How would she make a move?
You just draw it on her tomb.
Maybe that's what all she wants. She wants to play it.
Tic-tac-toe.
No, I don't think that's it.
I don't think that's it either.
Big fan of the X-Files.
It's the only thing I could think of with Noughts and Crosses. The game Noughts and Crosses.
As of the 1st of March in 2015, there is no longer public access to the cemetery. Entry is with a tour guide only.
What? So tour guide only? Did you use a tour guide, Matt?
No, you went 2 years before.
But I was just wondering, so you just went in with your mates?
No, I just went in with the mates. There was I reckon there was a tour there, and I was, you know, doing that eavesdropping thing.
Oh, I love that.
And then they tell you off for it. I did it at Edinburgh Castle, and they were like, this is for tours only. And we're like, okay.
Do they say that?
We're just standing kind of nearby.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, it was
they
very
They can give
funny.
You looks, but you can't mention it.
No, she was like, she yelled at us.
I was looking at this thing too.
Yeah, it was very funny.
You just got to say, no English.
No hablo inglese.
Yep, okay, you don't speak that, but you also don't speak Spanish very well either. So what do you speak?
Latin.
Si.
Oh, should have said that in Latin. Fuck. Should have said that in Latin. Fuck.
At-in
should have said that in Latin.
Pig Fuck. Latin. I speak pig Latin.
Ig pay Latin play, whatever
Ig pay
it is.
At-in lame. There have been many references to Marie Laveau in art, pop culture, and music. My favourite song title based on her is from, it's quite recent, it's from a Danish metal band, Volbeat. Released an album with the song entitled Marie Laveau, and then in brackets, Seal the Deal and Let's Boogie. That was only last year. So.
I don't think Volbeat are very good.
Well,
have you heard of Volbeat?
I've heard of Volbeat. I'm trying to remember who told me about them. I looked them up. I don't think I like them.
I love that Matt knows Volbeat.
Of course he does. It's a metal band.
Fear Factory, Volbeat.
But also...
They tour together.
Marie Laveau, Seal the Deal and Let's Boogie.
That's beautiful.
He's a pretty great name.
Maybe I've got to give him another
Whatever's on Spotify, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I want
to
hear Volbeat. That song. We'll find it.
When it was in Danish.
This is kind of interesting, and this is just a few little things to finish up with, and this kind of ties in nicely with some previous topics. Most prominently in comics, a character named Marie Laveau, based loosely on the real Marie Laveau, appears in Marvel Comics. She first appeared in Dracula Lives, number 2, in 1973. She's depicted as a powerful sorceress and voodoo priestess with great magical powers and knowledge of arcane lore, including the creation of a potion made from vampire's blood that keeps her eternally youthful and beautiful.
They wrote so she's vampires in into it.
She's in Marvel comics.
Was there any, like, vampires is like a, that's a very different thing.
That's
right?
A different thing.
No, but you just say it's in Dracula number 2.
And a potion made from vampire blood.
Yeah, it's interesting that they wrote her into a story, like, in there.
Well, I think they all kind of intersect a little bit.
Because they're in a different state, aren't they, in Pennsylvania, vampires?
Do you think you're Transylvania?
Transylvania, sorry. That I always do.
Pennsylvania
get
is a...
That's where Pittsburgh is. I'm thinking of the penguins.
You're confusing penguins with vampires again.
Yeah,
again.
I do that a lot.
The Pittsburgh vampires.
He does this every time.
The difference is vampires can fly, right?
They definitely can.
Yes.
And penguins have reflections.
They do. They definitely do.
They're the big two differences. Well, that's actually, how you can tell them apart.
I don't know if I've ever seen a penguin's reflection.
You chuck a penguin and a vampire in a house of mirrors, and that's how you find out which is which.
It's the only way to know.
Yep.
Science has not evolved. Doesn't know yet.
There was also a character named Marie Laveau, based loosely on the real Marie Laveau, once again, appeared in the Italian comic book Zagor. I have no more information about Zagor.
Right, so you don't speak English, Spanish, or Italian?
Parlo un po' italiano. Thank you very much.
Si.
Si, va bene. There have been several ghostly phenomena associated with Marie's tomb. Each year, countless people who kind of live within the cemetery, like homeless people, claim to see her ghost dancing from tomb to tomb. And on one occasion, a patron of the local drugstore claimed that Marie materialized in front of him and asked if he knew who she was. When he responded in the negative, she slapped him in the face and levitated out of the drugstore and over the fence towards her grave.
I love that.
How cool's that?
How dare you?
Do you know who I am?
It sounds like that he is quite a patron of the drugstore.
Yeah.
He's their number one customer.
They're like, oh, Gary's back.
Gary's back.
Oh, you saw a ghost again, Gary.
She fucking slapped me.
Who slapped you, Gary? There's nobody else here. It's 11 p.m.
Well, I don't know who she is, and that's why she... Oh, fuck, she's got it again. I'm sorry. I'm doing my research. I'm on Google now. Oh, fuck. That was Gary.
And Sink. Many also claim that Marie watches over the city in the form of a big black crow. So if you're ever in New Orleans, you can be like, oh, that big crow looks awfully menacing. It's also wearing a little turban.
Why do they?
Like Marie Laveau would do.
She's menacing. I guess she just slapped that guy.
I don't think like a huge black crow is going to be a really... Like it's not menacing.
Looking over the town, I was thinking like a guardian angel.
Well, then if it was, it would be an angel.
Going around slapping people.
Slapping.
She's a crow like draped in a snake. That'd be amazing.
That's the giveaway.
Singing the Pete Paradise, put up a parking lot. The Black Crows.
Maybe now that.
Oh, okay, very good.
Now that she's a crow.
And there was that big yellow taxi.
Counting Crows.
Counting crows.
Black Crows was.
Counting Black Crows. That mashup band. They made a supergroup into it. They did not.
That'd be good, though.
Who was in Counting
when
Crows?
When she was a crow, though, was she her own favour? No, what was
familiar.
The. Familiar. Fuck. That would have been a much funnier thing to say if I knew the right word.
Familiar. And yes.
What's
she was
a
her own. There's no, I don't know what a favour is.
Yeah, a favour is.
I bet you don't. You jerk.
A favour is something you do for a murderer in exchange for a free house.
Yeah, but a familiar is an animal that accompanies you on your magical doings.
That you recognise.
Yes.
That you are quite acquainted with.
Just to wrap up, in any case, voodoo practitioners know that Marie lives on in the spiritual form, and that their beloved queen can hear and bless them from the spirit world.
Oh, shit. She's heard this whole thing.
So she's a positive figure.
Yeah,
sort of.
She's mostly a positive figure. But she was like a strong... Okay, this, can I just... Let me say this sentence and then we'll understand.
Okay.
Regardless of whether Marie Laveau possessed mystifying supernatural powers or if her influence was due to bribery and espionage, the fact remains that she was a woman who lived on her own terms and refused to conform to the cookie-cutter image that society had prescribed her and thereby made her own destiny. So, she was kind of like this powerful, intimidating, strong woman who may or may not have, you know, helped.
All right, sorry.
Helped a case to benefit to buy to get a house, to get a free house.
Terrible timing.
Or she could have been a total hero in the town.
No, I find
she
it
cured
very
people
hard
of illness
to overlook the taking a free house in exchange for it.
Well.
Whether or not she actually did get the murder off,
and also
she believed she did, or they believed, and
or did the guy definitely do it? And she was just the dad was just worried, and she's like, "Look, I'll do it. It's a 50-50.
Yeah.
What do I lose?
What did she lose?
A house. But she didn't have a house. Dad was saying, what have I got to lose? And it's like, he also had many,
so he didn't really care.
Right, okay.
It's one of many houses that he had, so he would take it.
I'm getting you.
Yeah, but that's also just a story. We still don't have any, like, hard evidence that that's definitely how it happened.
Do any photos of her daughter exist? Because she would have been maybe a bit...
Not photos.
Huh.
No photos?
Because she was in the time of John Wilkes Booth type people who have photos of
her. Okay, yeah, no, you're right, and I am wrong. But there's...
She sounds like she'd probably look like a pretty fascinating person.
Well, there's images of her, yes, but that's the thing, because they're kind of morphed into, like, one person, it's sort of hard to say. I'll show you a picture. So this is like it's not a very good, it's very small, but like a painting of her. She always wore this, like, cool turban, but then there's others...
Oh, yeah, she looks a bit like Beyonce in that photo.
She does look a bit like Beyonce.
That image.
Ah, yeah, that's
cool. Who, in her songs, always talks about, well, in one song, it talks about her mother or father being Creole, one of those. Mother or father.
So, just a strong...
Make a Texas Bama, I believe she says. I don't know what that means.
She's just a strong, cool lady. I don't know, it's a really interesting story.
Cool. No, she sounds very fascinating.
I hope that I covered it enough, Max. There's not a lot of info out there.
Personally, I'd never heard of her, so I always love to hear about people that I've never heard of, because that's cool.
It is pretty cool.
Well, it is that time at the end of the episode to thank some Patreon supporters, some subscribers. And Matt, I believe you are going to kick us off with a name.
Yeah, well, actually, this is the first time I think we've got one that isn't. It's a website. Or it's a community. And it's a place I like to go to chill out when I'm done, you know, being rad at the end of the day.
I like
to go to a place to hang your cape. My cape in this instance, but it's called a place to hang your cape.
Bow cape?
Bow cape.
Place to hang your bow cape.
Well, that's the beauty of the community is you don't have to hang any particular kind of cape. I think they're more talking about superhero capes.
But they're pretty cape neutral?
Pretty cape neutral.
Oh, good.
That's a website, ap2hyc.com, a place to hang your cape. But the two is a number two.
Oh, very good.
Which is nice. And these guys and girls and people... Humans.
And capes.
I mean, the whole organisation. It's really good to have them on board.
We appreciate the support. Thanks so much.
I also wanted to say thank you to the off-brand antihistamine. I mean, we all know the well-known Australian brand Demazin.
Of course. I take it...
Take it regularly.
Monthly? First of every month, just in case. Because the first of every month is nearly always a Monday, and that's the hottest day of the week. And that's when the pollen count is always at 99%.
Obviously.
Exactly.
And then you wait till Thursday, cools down, everything's fine. So, the other alternative that you have, if you don't want to take Demazin, is Denizon.
Denizon.
I'm so bad at these, and you keep making me do them.
Denizon.
Could I just not do them in the future?
I mean, you could just do a heartfelt thank you.
But I just don't know how to open up and be sincere.
Yeah, instead you do these sort of mean-spirited jokes.
How does that mean-spirited?
No, I think it's fine. Denizon.
Denizon.
I've just had a look. His name is also Daniel Pratt.
Oh, well, you could have told me that before.
Oh, you could have made some sort of Pratt
joke. I made some sort of Denizon joke.
I wish I had. But I had no idea you were going
to... Thank you, Mr. Pratt.
That's better.
For contributing to our podcast, which is our favourite thing that we do, and we love this so much, and it means a lot to us that people want to be involved, and sincerely, I thank you so much.
That was so sincere and beautiful. Yeah. Matt, wasn't that great?
That was really nice.
I feel sick for opening up like that.
Oh my God.
Daniel Pratt, you got to understand how lucky you were to get Jess, the real Jess.
The real Jess.
She nearly never shows that. Not to us. Not
never.
To me and Dave.
I've never been thanked.
God, no. I would never thank you. Fuck off.
Well, someone I'd like to thank and not tell to fuck off is sometimes people have great initials, and this person is a BRB, Be Right Back.
BRB.
And they've constantly got our back with their pledges, and I would just like to say thank you to BRB, Benjamin R. Brisson. Thank you, Mr. Brisson.
BRB.
We appreciate you being there for our right back.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
No.
Well,
and our left back, to be honest.
Yeah, just our backs in general. Just our spines. Thanks for the lumbar support.
Thank you.
No. You are so ergonomic.
I feel so supported and I feel so loved by all the emails, tweets and Instagram messages, whatever, that you send in to us and Facebook messages. Of course, you can do that. Do go on pod@gmail.com. for the email on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram are all at DoGoOnPod. Patreon.com/DoGoOnPod if you want to get involved. If you want Jess to sincerely thank you.
I can't promise that.
Okay, so you can't promise.
It's really hard to open up to other people. Okay, I'm a closed book.
Well, Pratt opened you right up.
That's right.
Sure Pratt, did.
He's got a bookmark and he's coming back. Just like Benjamin Arbrison, who will be right back. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to this episode. We'll be back with another brand new episode next week. But if you would like to review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to this stuff. But until next week, let you sit on that sizzle and I will say goodbye.
Laters. Would anyone know who that is? Laters.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.